We turn once again to our Lord's Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew as we begin our consideration of the sixth chapter of Matthew. Jesus has been exposing, we know, the false teaching of the Pharisees with regard to the law. And now as we take a bit of a turn beginning in chapter 6, He begins to expose, as we will see the Lord willing, the false practices of the Pharisees as well, even as He instructs us in how we are called to practice the Christian life. We'll read together the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to consider only verse 1 this morning. Beginning at verse 1 of Matthew 6, hear now the Word of God. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May God add His blessing this morning to the reading and consideration of His Word. Beloved in Christ the Lord, as a Christian, why do you do the things you do? For example, why are you here this morning? Why do you worship? Why do you participate in Sunday school or a catechism or a Bible studies, even giving of your time to lead them? Why do you work with Project Philip or participate and lead young peoples or cadets or GEMS? Why do you support missions or Christian education? Why do you volunteer at the Alternative Women's Center or with CRWRC or down in Mexico? Why do you do the things that you do as a Christian? Why do you live the way that you live? You see, these are not unimportant questions, are they? Because Jesus makes it clear that motive, heart motive, matters. You see, you and I can do all kinds of nice and wonderful things under that title of a Christian. We can practice all kinds of Christian piety and perform all kinds of acts of religion, but if our heart motive is wrong, it is all shallow, it is all meaningless, it is all worthless. That was the problem with the Pharisees and the religious teachers. And all of their religious activity, and indeed they wanted to be known as religious figures, in all of their religious activity they had one goal, and that goal was to have a good reputation to be approved by men. And let's be honest, we too appreciate from time to time hearing a well done or a good job. Or you're so generous and kind. Or your faith is so evident in all you do. The simple fact is, it feels good to be noticed and to be appreciated. Yet Jesus teaches that if that is the desire, if that is the goal of your heart and mine, it means absolutely nothing in the sight of God. He says in verse 1 again, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Again, in chapter 5, as Jesus supported and confirmed the law of Moses, emphasizing its spirit and its truth, He exposed the error and the danger of the teaching of the religious leaders. And now, as I mentioned a moment ago, as we hope to see, He exposes the error and the hypocrisy of their practice of piety, of their practice of religion. As He points out here, the kingdom motive of righteousness. And of course, we're talking here about, as the text says, acts of righteousness. We might say the practice of piety. Now, verse 1 really is a general theme, a general statement introducing the three examples to follow that we read together. And those three examples outline the three fundamental acts of Jewish piety. Now, indeed, the Pharisees had the goal of practical holiness with lives that were marked by good works of charity and regular prayer and of tithing and or fasting. And we might say that these three things, these three fundamental things represent the whole of one's religious life and practice. For example, as it is expressed toward man, seen in giving. Or expressed toward God, seen in prayer. Or expressed toward oneself, as we see with regard to the spiritual discipline that Jesus talks about when it comes to fasting. But the danger is that these three practices, these three religious exercises, really are common in basically all religious systems. But the problem is, by most religious systems, these kinds of things are considered as a way to get saved, to prove one's righteousness. By many, they are turned into works righteousness, a way to earn one's salvation, or at least a part of one's salvation. For example, the Quran teaches that prayer and fasting and alms are chief duties that are required of the Muslim. One commentator says, "Prayer, it is said, will carry a man halfway to paradise, fasting will bring him to the gates, and alms will give him entrance." But not only are these things considered as works righteousness by many false religions, even by some who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, claim that we still must do something, we still must perform something in order to earn at least a part of our salvation. Indeed, beloved, Scripture teaches that these acts of righteousness are and will be an indispensable part of the Christian's life and practice, but not in order to get saved, not in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, as we have considered time and time again in our consideration of chapter 5. But as evidence of the kingdom citizen, as evidence of one who has been brought in by the grace of God. And we see that here too in these 18 verses, maybe you noticed, but 10 times Jesus refers to our Father. The only one who can call God my Father is one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, whose life has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, indeed, these acts of righteousness, the Christian life, these acts will be an indispensable part of the Christian's life and practice. Yet, there is only one motive that is acceptable and pleasing to God and makes those practices true acts of righteousness in His sight. And therefore, we want to consider that motive this morning for a few minutes before we go on to study the three examples that Jesus gives of what He is saying in verse 1. And that motive includes, first of all, drawing attention to God. Drawing attention to God. and doing so through expected works of righteousness. Again, these works are expected. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness, period. As if to say, don't do them. Don't worry about them. They have no place. No, that's not what Jesus says. The kingdom citizen enjoys new life by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His work. A new life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. A new life that is merciful. A new life that is a peacemaking life. A new life that delights in obedience to the Word of God, that Word which calls for charity, which calls for prayer and worship, which calls for spiritual disciplines of ourselves. He doesn't say, don't do them, don't worry about them. He also doesn't say, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, period. We might be tempted to read it that way. You see, whether one is a believer or an unbeliever, all of life is lived before the eyes of others. Jesus does not call us, once we become believers, to become hermits, to withdraw from this world and live like monks. Not one of us can help but to be seen as we live this life. In fact, as Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So what is it? Does Jesus want our works to be seen by others or not? Well, both. Notice what he does say. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Now that sounds like it might contradict chapter 5 verse 16 when he says that they may see your good deeds. And now he is saying that they may not be seen by men. But it doesn't contradict. We are to understand that the idea here is Jesus says, do not do your works in order to be noticed by man. In order to attract attention to yourself. Do not do them with the motive of being praised and congratulated, of getting man's approval. Do not seek and crave and accept praise for acts of righteousness, praise that belongs only to God. Because we know that true acts of righteousness could not and would not be done apart from the grace of God in our lives and the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, one commentator describes chapter 5 verse 16 and chapter 6 verse 1 in this way, comparing them as if Jesus is saying in chapter 5 verse 16, show them when you're tempted to hide them. Don't hide your light under a bowl. And in chapter 6, verse 1, as if Jesus is saying, hide them when you're tempted to show them. In other words, be careful. You see, the motive of the kingdom citizen, beloved, is to draw attention to God. To draw attention to His glory and His honor and His mercy and His grace. Draw attention to Him instead of to oneself. The focus here is on hypocrisy. Maybe you noticed that with all three of the examples, Jesus talks about hypocrisy. And that word is a word that is used of actors on the Greek stage. One who plays the part of another, not himself. And therefore, one whose actions do not match their motives. One who gives false impressions. The Pharisees were indeed doing works of religion. They wanted to be known as religious figures. They wanted to be thought of as those who were close to God. They were doing these works of religion, works that by their very nature ought to point to God and ought to point to one's relationship with Him. Yet they were doing them without faith. Desiring instead to be seen and noticed by others for these works. They wanted to be congratulated for their piety. And beloved, that can be done so subtly, can't it? It can be done so subtly, doing acts in the name of religion or because I'm a Christian. Sometimes the harder you work to not be noticed, you can't help but to be noticed. Deep down inside, hoping and working to be noticed and appreciated by men. You and I can fool man, but we cannot fool God. And that's why Jesus makes it clear that these are to be done with great care. Be careful. Take heed. Watch yourself as you're doing, as you're living the Christian life. It calls for constant self-examination in humility and with honesty that I am to always remember why I am a kingdom citizen. Always remember what Jesus Christ has done for me. Always remember how undeserving I am, but how deserving God is, and therefore always myself thinking of God first. And therefore the motive includes, in the second place, striving to please God. Striving to please God and not to please myself. You see, the hypocritical motive centers on selfishness. The hypocrite may try to give the appearance of doing good works of faith for the benefit of or to please others. But the truth is, the motive is really to please oneself, hoping that others will think better or think more positively of the one doing the acts of righteousness, hoping that one might have a good reputation or be spoken highly of before men. The truth is, either we praise God or we praise ourselves, one or the other. And our Lord's teaching is it is to be Him. Pleasing God is to be the Christian's supreme object and goal in life, to please Him only and always and in everything. And our pattern is Jesus Christ. As He lived on this earth, His perfectly righteous life lived in our place, was lived entirely and always and only for the glory of God, expressed in His thoughts and words and motives and deeds. And indeed, we often struggle here, don't we? How often don't people do certain nice things because it makes me feel good? So many give of their money or time to charities and help others in need because of how it makes them feel, because it makes them feel satisfied because they did something. Maybe you've seen interviews on TV when it comes to cancer walks or helping out with devastations like fires or other natural disasters or whatever the case might be. And invariably the interviewer will ask the one being interviewed, well, why are you doing this? And the answer comes back, because it makes me feel good. Because I had to do something. And that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But that's the motive, you see. And as well, at times, if another is unhappy or displeased with us for doing something, even if we did something right, we are more bothered by their displeasure than we are bothered by our sin that offends God. Again, it affects our self-satisfaction and our pleasure. But instead, the believer's motive for righteousness is to please God the Father alone, who has demonstrated His great love for us. And therefore, this motive also includes recognizing the presence of God. And I think, beloved, this is so important for us to be reminded of. I think we know this in our heads. We take it for granted. But we are to recognize the presence of God, remembering that we are always in God's presence. Not of others. There are some who cross our paths only for a moment in life. There are others whom we know are for a lifetime, yet they come and go. But we are always in the presence of God. As David says in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Everywhere we could ever go, God is there. David isn't tormented by that thought. Indeed, he was troubled by the fact that God knew his every sin. But ultimately, in the end, he was comforted. He was comforted in the presence of God, who is his salvation. It's in Him, in God, that Paul says we live and move and have our being. He sees, He knows all of my heart. He cannot be deceived. He cannot be fooled like men. Our motive includes recognizing the presence of God, that we are always in His presence, and that knowledge is to be a conscious part of life for you and me. Of every single moment. That I live in the presence of the one and only Almighty God who loved me, who gave His Son for me, who calls me His child. I live in His presence. And therefore, beloved, boys and girls, young people, each and every one of us, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, and throughout the day with everything we do or say or attempt or think or imagine, we are to constantly remind ourselves that it is all under the watchful eye of God. If we would only remember that, how would that change all that we think and say and do? And then whether another is a part of our life constantly or only crosses our path for a moment, they cannot help but to see God living in and loved by you and me. They cannot help but to see the love of God poured out on you and me. The kingdom motive for righteousness, drawing attention to God, desiring to please Him, recognizing His presence. Only then, beloved, can we truly praise Him for His reward, a reward that is indeed not earned. Jesus makes it clear that for those whose motive is the praise and the glory and the attention of men for themselves, for those for whom there is no evidence of being kingdom citizens, they have no reward with God. They do not have the salvation of God. They have no lasting satisfaction. But for the kingdom citizen, who has been brought into the very presence of God, whose life has been transformed, who has been given new desires, new motives for life, they enjoy the reward from God, a reward that is only of grace. Jesus Christ has earned every single spiritual blessing for you and me. Not one is left out. And each and every blessing is for each one of God's people. Even the blessing of forgiveness when we do things selfishly in sin for the temporary praise of others, trying to take credit for what God alone has done in our lives. Forgiveness even for putting ourselves before God. Isn't that amazing? Even for setting ourselves in God's place. Jesus Christ has earned forgiveness even for that. And our acts of righteousness, beloved, are those which He has worked in us. He works in us by the Holy Spirit, which are evidence of His saving work. And therefore, our confidence is the reward of eternal life in Him. The Father's reward to me for that which His Son has accomplished for me. And you know, in this life, He also blesses with a unique satisfaction those whose motive for all they do is the glory of God in response to all that He has given to us. Beloved, our audience is an audience of one. God and God alone. And when He alone is our audience, only then can and will we be a blessing to others. God alone is our audience, Him for whom Jesus Christ came to save us. And our Lord's motive was simple, to glorify His Father by saving us. By saving us. Let that soak in. And then think about this. What a motive to give to the needy. Because He has given His all to you and me who had nothing. What a motive to pray in dependence upon and thanksgiving to our Father who alone hears and answers prayer and loves His children and has promised to give us all that we stand in need of. What a motive to fast, that is, forsaking this world, forsaking sinful pleasures, and giving our lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. Beloved, praise be to God for His powerful work in you and me, even as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And therefore, beloved, may He by His Holy Spirit increase and strengthen my desire to, and may my life draw attention more and more to Him. And may my desire be, and may my life more and more please Him in all things at all times. May I delight in His never-ending and never-failing presence. Oh, to God be the glory alone. Great things He has done. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come before You in this morning hour, once again at the close of this Your Word, and we do thank You for this Word. In so many ways, we must confess that it convicts us. It convicts us as those who desire to be praised, as those who desire to be patted on the back, as those who desire to be noticed for the things that we do. But Father, more and more may our every desire be that You would be glorified and praised. May we ourselves, in a sense, be anonymous before the eyes of the world, but through our lives may others see Your beauty and Your glory. May that be a blessing of Your Spirit poured out upon all who see. Father, continue to lead us and guide us as we desire to walk with You. We praise Your name, for indeed You are an awesome God. You have given to us all that we have needed. You have given to us life eternal. And may we ever live to praise and glorify Your most holy name in all that we think and say and do. Indeed, to God alone be the glory. We love You, Lord. We thank You for all that You have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.